from here. Let's sing 477. Blessed Assurance, 477. Know me, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. Submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praise my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long.
Good morning. May God just simply bless us with His presence this morning. I believe that He has already, that He is here. And these were beautiful words that we were singing. And to me, they point back to the many promises of God and to His faithfulness. That verse under the title said, it's out of Hebrews, it said, He is faithful that promised. And that is so true. I've been impressed probably for a week or more. There's been a verse that I've had a marker in my Bible on, and I keep going back to it. And it impressed me again this morning. And it's taken out of Psalm 89. And the 15th verse is the one that's impressed me, but this morning I started reading at the beginning of the chapter, and I was impressed right away with the words under, at least in my Bible, the words there at the beginning before the psalm starts. It says, the psalmist praises God for His care of the church. And then at the top of the page, where it kind of gives a summary of that page, it says, of God's faithfulness. And I guess that touches my heart this morning. As you read down through this psalm, and we're not going to read it all, but as you read down through it, it speaks of, in a couple of places, of the congregation of the saints, of God's faithfulness in the congregation of the saints. And isn't that just so true? And then the 15th verse. Maybe I'll read several verses, but we'll start with that one. It said, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength. And in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." Beautiful words. Been especially thinking about that part of the joyful sound. It's been on my mind all week. And I don't know what that means to you, and I don't know exactly what the psalmist was thinking of when he wrote that. But it doesn't just say, blessed is the people that hear the joyful sound. It says that know. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And to me, when I think about the joyful sound, my mind goes, yes, I think of God's faithfulness and His mercy and so many of the things that the psalmist brought out in this chapter. So many beautiful things, so many beautiful attributes of God. But I was also thinking of the reason why we're together here this morning. We're together because many years ago, Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." And I'm thinking about that part, remembrance of Him. Remembrance of what He did. Yes, we remember the Last Supper with His disciples. We remember Jesus' life on this earth. We remember His death. We remember the sacrifice that He made. The joyful sound, salvation, the good news. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. You know, I suppose there would be a way that we could read those words and we could feel entitled, or we could feel good about ourselves. But I think there's also a way to read those words and to feel humbled, isn't there? To recognize how unworthy we are. To recognize the true gift. To recognize where our salvation is. To recognize who gets the glory. And this morning, that's what impresses me. That joyful sound, knowing the joyful sound. I thought of that song that we sometimes sing it in the hymnal. We don't sing it very often, but it says, "You have heard the joyful sound," and then it goes on to say, "Jesus saves. Jesus saves." And I am so thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful that we can know the joyful sound. I'm also thankful that we can walk in it, that it can be personal. The rest of that verse says, "They shall walk," those people that know that, "they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." And is that not a beautiful thought? And I'm thankful this morning. When I think of God, when I think of the way He works, you know, He works with imperfect people like you and me, doesn't He? It's hard for me to put it into words even. We are carriers. God wants to use us as carriers of His good news, of this joyful sound. You know, if it wasn't for people on this earth, nature would still praise God. God would still be praised in a way. But it seems to me like He has chosen imperfect people, humans, people that can make their own choices, people that don't have to serve Him. He's chosen people to portray His love, to have the opportunity to give His love, to receive it. And it is truly a joyful sound, isn't it? It's a joyful thing. And I think of this time that we've been through, it just seems to me like God has blessed us. He's been good to us. He loves us, doesn't He? And this morning I'm thankful that we can spend this time together in remembrance of Him. I just believe that He has something for us again this morning. I know that you've been praying. We've all been praying. I believe that He has something to give us. And may our hearts be open as we reach out to Him, as we listen. And may His door be open to share with us. Let's kneel for prayer. Our great God, we just simply pause before You, Lord, on bended knee here this morning. Our hearts are turned to You, and we are thankful. We're thankful, Lord, for the good news. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for the joyful sound. And, oh, Father, it is not because we are worthy. It is because You are merciful, and You are faithful, and You are good. And we just simply invite You here into our presence as we have already felt You, Lord. We ask You to be here. We ask that Your inspiration can be shared in just the simple way that You have for us, that we can receive it, that You would just simply be here this morning, and that the honor and the glory can be Yours. Oh, Father, just be with each heart. Perhaps there are still hearts among us that are struggling or that are still wondering. We just pray, Lord, that Your grace can just be poured out, that Your Spirit can speak, that we can rest. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take our gospel hymns and sing number 4. Number 4, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Do me, great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassion they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever shall be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. To Thy great faithfulness.
good morning. I am inspired this morning. As I sit here and I look, this crowd of people, a group of people reconciled to God, that's inspiring. Not what I've done, not what you've done, but by the grace and mercy of God. Where else could we go? Where else could we find such a blessing? I want to speak this morning about reconciliation. What do you think of when you think of reconciliation? Do you think of coming together and settling differences? What do you think of? Do you think of meeting halfway? I want us to think this morning, and we're going to consider a little bit the reconciliation that Christ did for us. I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read verse 10. And we're going to drop down and read 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It says, "For we all must stand, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And then dropping down to verse 17, that same chapter. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's turn to Colossians. Chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 19 through verse 22. Colossians 1, verse 19. "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And to you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." That's quite a thought in that last verse, isn't it? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Let's turn to Ephesians. I think we'll just go ahead and read this right away. Chapter 2. And I honestly don't know. I don't know what to read in this chapter and what not to. But there's, it just seems like the whole chapter is so good. It talks about being quickened. When we were dead in our trespasses and sin, we walked according to the course of the world. We had conversation with the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Then it talks about God and his mercy, who is rich in mercy, and his love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. And then it talks about being saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift, not of works. Being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, being without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers, having no hope. But then in verse 13 it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to them, to you which are far off, and to them that are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Again, I ask this question, what do you think of when you think of reconciliation? I know that there are those here that have worked in accounting. I do a little book work myself for a living. And there comes a time, it's good if, and you take your accounts and you reconcile them. Take your bank statement, and you take the beginning balance, and you take the ending balance, and you take the difference between those two. And you add and subtract in your debits and your credits that you've had through that month. And when it's all said and done, you want to see zero. That's what you want to see. It means it's balanced. It means it's reconciled. That you've accounted for all the debits and all the credits in that account, and it matches the difference between the beginning and the ending balance. That's a simple explanation. There are times, of course, today we use computers, we use QuickBooks, whatever program you choose to use. As I reconcile those accounts, I'm watching that number. And I get down to that last item, and I hope it matches, and I click it, and it goes to zero, and I'm happy. Because that means that all has been accounted for. I'm not missing something. It's zero. I can clear it, and I can go on. Today I want to liken our lives a little bit to that account. And I know our human tendency today is that I would like to be able to balance the account. I want to. I want to balance that account. I want the credits and the debits to come together to a place where it equals and I can be at zero. That's what I want. But you know what? How many times have you and I found it doesn't work? It does not work. I go through that statement, I go through that account of my life. And I come up with a number that I don't want to see. I come up with a number that I don't like. It's not zero. The debits outweigh the credits by a long ways. In fact, sometimes there is no credits. And yet, the beginning balance and the ending balance say there needs to be some credits, doesn't it? If this account is going to balance, if I'm going to reconcile this account, there needs to be some credits. But there's not. How many times have I felt that way and you felt that way? But I am inspired this morning, like I have been before, that reconciliation today does not need two parties. It doesn't need two parties. As we read there in 2 Corinthians, one day we're all going to need to appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive the things done in our bodies according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We all are going to stand there before the judgment seat of Christ someday. And brothers and sisters, the account will need to be zero when we stand there. It will need to be zero. It will need to be reconciled. We know that, don't we? Then we read further down there, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And this is the part that I like. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Our accounts this morning, they don't balance. It's just the simple fact. And that's what I said here in the beginning, and so inspiring to me as I look at this crowd of people this morning, a people whose accounts do not balance. They don't. They can't, and they won't. And yet we stand here this morning with joy on our faces because we're reconciled to God. We are. Why? Because of what Christ did for you and I. We did not meet him halfway. We did not provide any credits to balance the debits. All there was debits. It was all in the negative. And that number up there that says whether it's reconciled or not was way too big a number. Whether it was a negative or a positive, it was simply, there was a number there. And it needs to be zero. But the beautiful thing is this morning that Christ, by himself, went to the cross, he died, and reconciled the account. He reconciled it. And today, it stands at zero. He reconciled that account while you and I were yet sinners. He did not wait until we made a move. He did not wait until we provided something. Christ reconciled the account while we were yet sinners, while we were yet adding debits to the account, while we were making it worse. He reconciled that account. That's the beauty this morning. And that is why we can sit here this morning. And that is why we can partake of this communion service, like Matt said in his opening. That is a memorial. We remember and we rejoice this morning because of what Christ has done. He's reconciled the account. We can move on. He done it by himself. I think of a number of examples in the scriptures this morning. I think of that woman that the Pharisees brought to Jesus. And they told Jesus this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. He said, "What do you say?" He said, "The law says she should be stoned." Seemed to be no reconciliation, did there? The debits were too great. There was no credit. We know the story, the account, how Jesus stood there. He was quiet. He wrote in the dust. And finally he looked at them and he said, whoever's without sin among you, cast the first stone. It says they slowly walked away. One by one they left. Jesus looked at the woman and he said, "Where are your accusers?" In other words, where are your debits? She said, "I haven't. They're gone, Lord." She said, "Neither do I condemn thee." Did that woman do one thing to reconcile the account? No, she didn't. Not a thing. Jesus did it all. He reconciled the account. Think of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus knew Jesus was coming through Jericho and he wanted to see him. Climbed up that sycamore tree because he was of small stature. He watched. And Jesus come under that tree. He just wanted to see Jesus. A sinner. A man who was despised by the rest of the Jews. Because of his collaboration with the Roman government. And Jesus told him, "Today I must come to your house." And Zacchaeus went to his house. He went to Zacchaeus' house and Zacchaeus told him. He offered Jesus something. He offered him that he could repay. He could restore. But you know what? I don't think that Zacchaeus, I don't know, maybe he was rich enough that he could actually do all that. I don't know. But you know what? Jesus reconciled the account. Jesus said in one place, he said, "I did not come for the well. I came for the sick." In other words, I came to reconcile the accounts that are unreconcilable. And that's you and I. That's our accounts this morning. They're not reconcilable. They're in such a mess. Have you ever tried to reconcile an account that goes way back and you cannot figure it out? And you pour through that thing and you try, where is this? Why is this off? And finally, you usually find it. But you know what? Our accounts today are not reconcilable. They simply aren't. They're not mathematics. Mathematics, you can usually figure it out. But our accounts don't add up. They simply are not reconcilable. But Jesus reconciled it by himself. Paul. Do you think Paul was able to reconcile his own account with all he had done to the church, all the Christians that he had persecuted, his own pride, if you will, his own ego? And he continued down that road. He's on that road to Damascus, intent on causing more grief to the church, intent on causing more heartache. And God struck him down and reconciled the account. Paul was a new man, reconciled, zero. Oh, this morning, I think of the thief on the cross, there when Jesus was crucified. As he hung there and the other thief railed on him, on Jesus, and that thief just looked at Jesus and says, "Have mercy." In other words, he's saying, "Lord, you're going to have to take my account and reconcile it." And Jesus told him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise. Today you will be." The account was reconciled. It was clear. Isn't that wonderful this morning? And that's what he's done for you and I. He's reconciled the account. And that is why, I know last night we had self-examination here. We can say, well, it's kind of a ritual. We all get up and we say the same thing. But you know, I sat here last night and I thought of the beauty of that little service. Where else could we go, brothers and sisters? And we could stand one by one, sinners, redeemed by grace. Sinners whose accounts are not reconcilable. And we can stand and say, declare, "I have peace with God. My account is reconciled. And it's nothing that I have done. Nothing. It's all what Jesus did. Every last bit of it. Even the righteousness that I have," the scripture says, "is a filthy rags." In Psalms 130, verse 3, that "if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" That's us. But today, the account's been reconciled. Now, it says here that in 2 Corinthians 5 there, it says that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'd like to speak just a little bit about that this morning too. I'm not going to talk very long. We have been reconciled to God. The account's been balanced. It says he has given us, first it says here, the ministry of reconciliation. And then later he says, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are called today to be like Christ. And again, we can't do that without the reconciliation that Christ did for us. And let us remember that we did nothing. We did not meet him halfway. That thief on the cross did not meet Jesus halfway. He came to him with all the debits and says, "Here it is, Lord, it is out of balance." And Jesus, in that instance, balanced that account. So he has given unto us this morning the ministry of reconciliation. And I would just like to leave this thought this morning, that we can be reconciled to our brothers. There are times that differences come up, aren't there? We know that. And sometimes we ponder. We say, well, if he would do this, then I would come here and we could meet and we could reconcile. But I wonder this morning if that's, as we think of the scripture and we think of the ministry of reconciliation, is that really what God has in mind? I can be at odds with my brother. I can be at, there's a disagreement. And I believe this, brothers and sisters. I believe that I can be reconciled if my brother never makes a move. If he never changes. If he never apologizes. I can be reconciled. It does not take two people. It does not take two people to reconcile. Christ did it by himself. And you say, well, but I'm not Christ. And I agree with that. But he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation this morning takes place when I go 100% of the way. I take all the blame. That's when reconciliation happens. The other party will have to do the same thing. If we both go 100%, we're both reconciled. Praise the Lord. But I can, brothers and sisters, if I have a problem, if we have a problem this morning, and I'm not trying this morning to make us have problems. That's not my point, because I believe we're reconciled. But if I have a problem and I say, well, I would love to be reconciled, but I don't think there's any buts involved. I can be. I can be reconciled. My brother may not be. My spouse may not be, but I can be. I can go all the way. I can go 100%. And provide the credits needed to reconcile the account. You know, when that happens, there's a blessing. And Jesus did that for you and I. He reconciled the account. Without me making a move. He reconciled the account while I was still creating more debits. He reconciled it. And he hath committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. May God bless us this morning as we think of reconciliation. Oh, yes, it's beautiful when two people reconcile. I agree. It's wonderful. But let's not stop, brothers and sisters, let's not stop this morning because I feel like I've went as far as I can go and we're still not reconciled. If you've went as far as you can go, you're reconciled. If you've given it all, you've surrendered everything. And that is what Christ requires in his reconciliation. He reconciled himself to us. His work is done. Now it is up to us, and all I have to do on my end is surrender. All I have to do is give in, lay down my life, and I'm reconciled. But Christ did his work. It's done. And he reconciled the account. And today we can do the same. As I give my all, and in whatever situation I'm, whether it's my marriage, I surrender everything. I commit everything. I go 100% of the way. I can be reconciled. I can be reconciled to my brother with whom I've had an issue when I go all the way, 100%, and admit I'm wrong. Take all the blame. Even if it isn't all yours, but take it all. and reconcile. May God bless us as we go forth this morning, a people reconciled to God and reconciled to each other.
We've heard a beautiful message this morning, and my heart has been warmed, and I like to just support it. There's one verse that came to me, and here in 1 John 3:16 it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And I was thinking of reconciliation, and I was thinking of our self-expression meetings, and was thinking of our brethren as our accountants, and how that we come up here and we share our account. We share our account, and you know, in the natural sense, our accountant really doesn't have any, if you want to say, skin in the game in my finances, but we submit that to the accountant, and we trust their proving. And as we come before our brethren, we sense, has Christ reconciled his account? Has he reconciled my account? And that just warmed my heart and then as I thought of us this morning and our feet washing and how that we extend our feet and how that we just lay down, it signifies that part of us opening up our life to our brethren. That we're willing to stretch forth in humility our feet to be washed, and how that it signifies that washing that Christ has done for us. But that humility, that impressed me this morning. And may God bless us as we just continue in this service, that the Spirit of God can be here. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for the message that you have given to us. Oh Father, for thy forgiveness and thy peace in our hearts and in our lives. We just pray that thy Holy Spirit could continue to be here through this communion service. Warm our hearts, O Father, and just help us to ever walk with thee in humility and faith and in love would be our prayer through Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus paid it all. No. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all." Jesus.
think we'd like to just give a little bit of time here. If anyone didn't get a chance to express yourself and wishes to this morning, or if you weren't here for self-examination last night and would like to make your declaration. So if there's anyone here on the men's side yet, maybe just stand to your feet. Okay, Kyle, you can go ahead.
I didn't get to express myself. You want me to do that now?
Sure, that's fine.
So I was at work last night, so I couldn't be here, but I just wanted to, I don't know where to start. I guess this past year I feel like it's been a year of searching for me. I feel like the Lord has been there for me. And I feel like he's been walking with me, but I have felt that I didn't know where I was at with God, and I have felt it seemed like some of the temptations and the thought patterns that I was dealing with had more power than I could deal with, than I could handle. That's went on for a long time. There came along with it a lot of mental turmoil because something didn't make sense. I felt that God was there. I felt that I had done what I needed to do. But I felt that the temptations were simply too strong for me to, I couldn't sustain it. It's what it felt like. And it just, you know, the power of the gospel that people talked about, that I read about in the Bible, it didn't seem like, something about that didn't make sense to me. And so there just came a lot of turmoil with that. And like I say, it's been longer than this year. But I made it a point to spend a lot more time with God. And that was a tremendous blessing in my life. And it seemed like, I can't tell it all this morning, but it seemed like it was probably a little over a month ago. The Lord came to me and showed me that I had developed a lot of resentment and bitterness toward him. I felt like he had not done his part, and I wouldn't have said that, but he showed me that that was there. And I repented of that. I just felt like I saw it. I felt like he opened my eyes and I saw that. And then it was a week or two later, he brought that verse to me about God will not, he will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. And he will, he's faithful, and he will give away to sin. And he just said to me, he said, you do not believe that promise. You say it, but you don't live like you believe it. And I was about to get up and express myself in our first round there of revivals, and I felt free before God at that time. I really did. I felt like God had touched my life. But then we came to that snowstorm, during that snowstorm there, when our revival got canceled and everything. I think it was Friday night and Saturday. Those temptations and thoughts descended on me with tremendous force. And I went through a terrible fight. Sunday morning, I got up. I went upstairs to have my devotions. I knew that if God was going to be there with me, that I was going to have to make another commitment. I knew there was something there that wasn't sanctified yet, and I didn't understand it, but I did that. And through that devotion, and then we listened to a sermon that morning from another congregation. And through that devotion and that sermon, it seemed like God opened my eyes and showed me my unbelief. It seemed like he showed me how foolish and ridiculous it was for me to doubt God, for me to doubt whether there was power there for my problems, for my temptations.
say thank you. Is there anyone more on the brother's side? Okay, if not, on the sister's side, if there's any of you, you can stand to your feet. Okay. Cheryl? Melissa? Janet? Audrey? Thank you. Vic? Okay, Bernice, go ahead. Okay, anyone else? Okay, I think if not, we're ready to move into the feet washing. I thought maybe just make a little comment as we think of our communion service here. I know there was a question or two on the brothers' chat this morning about, there's probably multiple ones of us that are experiencing colds and kind of how to handle that. And I think as far as greeting goes, we'll just do like we normally do. If you feel like you have a cold and you want to abstain from that, you can make that known. And as far as the communion cup, I don't know. I think probably for the most part, most of us are fairly well and truly exposed to all the things that are going around. But if you are uncomfortable taking that, one option would be if you wanted to, through that part of the service, if you wanted to move to the very back bench, you could sit back there if you're worried about passing it on. Or if someone just feels like they can't partake of the cup because of whatever you have, then that would be fine too. So, but I guess I don't know that we feel like we need to make a big deal out of it. So hopefully that provides a little bit of clarity for you. Okay, I think we can prepare for feet washing and have some songs.
Take gospel hymns and sing 104. In tenderness he sought me. 104.
No soul. In tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again, while angels in his presence sang until the courts of heaven rang. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to song.
Let's take our Christian hymnal and turn to number 278. 278.
No, so
would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power.
In gospel hymns. O Lord, our Lord.
Do, fa, mi, do. O Lord, our Lord, thy greatness now extolling, thou art our all, our life, our breath, our being. We extendeth mercy, we
Number 113. 113. When I surveyed
I count the love.
20 in gospel hymns. Bread which we break signifies the broken body of Jesus. As we know, as we read, how that Jesus was broken. His body was bruised and broken on the cross, and it signifies that broken body. We will stand to have prayer, and those partaking of communion will remain standing. The others can take their seat. As soon as you receive your portion, go ahead and sit down, and we will just hold it, and when we all have received our portion, we will eat together in unison. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, a group of reconciled people. Well, Father, we thank you for your sacrifice, how you was willing to come and to this sin-cursed earth, willing to
subject your body to suffering, whereby we can be saved with you. That sacrifice, O Father, your Son was willing to make. We just ask that you would continue to go with us in this service, that as we commemorate that we can, a new appreciation could be in our hearts for the sacrifice, what it cost heaven for our salvation. Just continue to go with us. It'd be our prayer through Jesus' name. Amen. We may all partake.
This cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the shed blood of Jesus Christ? I think we'll just do this like we did the last one. We'll all stand to our feet, have a prayer together, and those that are going to partake of communion can stay standing after the prayer. So let's all stand. Our Father, we just turn our hearts to you again today in this beautiful setting. And we just pause again, Lord, in remembrance of your plan. We pause in remembrance of the sacrifice that Jesus made, that he shed his blood for our sins. And that he paid that debt that we heard about this morning. And Lord, we stand unworthy. We are thankful. We're thankful that we can participate of this together. Just a small group of your people. And again, Lord, just show us in a new way your love for us. And help us to understand what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. like to open it up here for testimonies, or someone would have something to leave here, thankfulness, whatever it is. Just give a little bit of time for that. Feel the same way. I just felt a special love for each one of you as my brothers and sisters, and I'm so thankful to God for everything He gives us and for His sacrifice. And I think we could probably all say that. Thankful that we can have this time together too. Thank you to each one for those testimonies, and just each one of you for your faithfulness. And it seems like God has truly blessed us. Maybe we could have a, I know we've sang a lot this morning, maybe we could have another song yet. If would your song leaders have another one we could sing together yet before we go home? First, we could ask for announcements. Are there any announcements here? Kyle?
This is in regards to our Gym Kitchen project. We would like to announce another meeting at the gym next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, February 8. It would typically be Bible study, but we asked the Bible study committee and we've asked the staff if we can steal an evening there. So we really need good participation. It'll be in the gym there like last time. We are up against some really big questions, and so there will be some open discussion there, and we would love to see you all there, because like I say, we've got a couple big decisions facing us on this project. 7 o'clock next Sunday evening at the gym. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kyle. Anyone else? I think we'd like to announce a service here this evening, as we announced last night. We'll come together at 7 o'clock, so that'll be 7 o'clock tonight. And we'll just simply spend a little time here. We'll have, like we voted last night, we'll have the election, the deacon's election tonight. And I know you have been. Let's be praying. Just simply praying that God can show us His will, and that He can open the door for that however He sees fit. So, anything else that needs to be said? Okay, let's have that song, and then maybe we'll look to one of our brethren here for closing prayer.
Turn our hymnals to 342. I'm not ashamed.
No, I'm not ashamed.
Stand for the benediction. Our Father, we come to you again, and we just thank you again for thy mercy, for thy love upon us poor sinners, and that you've called us, and that we could celebrate, we could remember thy death and thy resurrection and thy power. Bless us as we go forth from this place, Father. Bless those that are still struggling. Just draw near to them, O Father. We think tonight, too, of our meeting tonight, as we think of calling forth laborers for thy kingdom. Father, we just implore your blessings. Without you, Father, we can't do it. Without your blessings, it won't work. And we just beg of you, O Father, you'd draw our hearts together, and that the one or ones that you have called could be brought forth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.